Well, I'm excited to look yet again into the book of Proverbs with you, the book of Proverbs. And we have a wonderful evening, not only singing to the Lord, remembering truth, and engaging our mind in good theology. We could take what you have just sung, and we could dive into that theology all night long. And maybe that would be appropriate and a great benefit to your morning devotions, perhaps, or time before bed, just to go back through that theology and, you know, engage your mind with that truth. But now we come to Proverbs chapter 4 to prepare us for our prayer meeting. And what I want to do tonight is I want to teach a good portion of the chapter, because the chapter really is one unit. And I couldn't do all of it, because the end of the chapter next week is one of my favorite parts in all of Proverbs, and so I kind of selfishly wanted to tackle that part only next week. But I want to look at verses 1 to 19 tonight and talk about a father's repetitious instruction. At all costs, you need to get God's wisdom. So let's fill our mind with the wisdom of God. Follow with me as I read verses 1 through 19 of Proverbs chapter 4. What a remarkable section of the Bible. Here's the word of God. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me, and he said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. But the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. You have heard it said, no doubt, that repetition is the mother of learning. Repetition is the mother of learning. You say something, and then you repeat it. And then you say it again. And then you review it. And then you say, let me remind you of what I already told you. Again and again. That's kind of the cycle of parenting. And the cycle of teaching, and the cycle of preaching, and the cycle of instruction. I want to remind you of what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. I was visiting the holidays today when they had their little baby yesterday, and this is the verse that I read for Jose and Elizabeth. That God has given the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Even from childhood, Timothy knew these sacred scriptures. We need to be reminded that repetition is the mother of learning. We need to repeat, 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 because what Paul does in 2 Timothy, what the author Solomon does in Proverbs, is we need wisdom. We need wisdom. And I want to tell you tonight at the outset, I'm not going to say a whole lot that's brand new. I'm going to remind you. I'm going to repeat a lot of what we've already looked at in chapters 1 to 3 of the book of Proverbs. That's what Paul does in 2 Timothy. Let me remind you of the sacred writings. They are able to make you wise for salvation. We need wisdom. Look with me in your outline at a number of ways that we see wisdom as being needed in God's Word. Acts 6, verse 3, God's leaders are to be full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. In Acts 6, verse 10, unbelievers were unable to cope with the wisdom that God gave to Stephen. In Romans 11, verse 33, we read, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God." In Matthew chapter 10, our Savior gathered the 12 apostles, and he said to them, "I'm sending you out in the midst of wolves. You must be wise as a serpent and as harmless or innocent as a dove." Every faithful pastor, every faithful preacher heralds the glory and the wisdom of Jesus Christ, not the wisdom of this world. I think of Proverbs chapter 1. And verse 4, when Solomon tells us that God gives prudence and wisdom and discretion to the youth. So, men and women, tonight we need God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom. And I want to build on that, because we need biblical wisdom. We don't need any kind of wisdom. We need a particular kind. Not worldly wisdom, not cultural wisdom, not popular wisdom of the day. We need biblical wisdom. We need unchanging wisdom. We need the protective wisdom from God. We need the true wisdom that comes from God, the reliable wisdom that only comes from His Word. But church family, I want to remind you that we have to beware. We have to beware as we sail through life. We have to be on guard of a huge iceberg. We have to be aware of a huge iceberg, and that is misdirected wisdom. And we need wisdom, yes, but we need a particular kind of wisdom. We need God's wisdom, not worldly wisdom. And you see here in your outline a number of bullet points, and I'm kind of summarizing the book of Proverbs right here, so I'm kind of giving you a little big picture dose of Proverbs. Be careful of false prosperity. Proverbs teaches that's an iceberg you want to avoid on your journey sailing through life. Number two, be careful of false prestige. And number three, be careful of false protection. Be careful of false pleasure. Another iceberg, be careful of false peers. Indeed, be careful of false promises. Oh, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the promise is it'll lead you to death. So, Proverbs, before us tonight in chapter 4, reminds us that this book of Proverbs is wisdom's only authorized textbook, right? God hasn't given, you know, a lot of different places for us to get His wisdom in our own hearts or in culture or social media or Hollywood. The Word of God is our sufficient and reliable guide. You see there, as I was pondering how do we learn the wisdom from Proverbs, and how do we benefit from it? It's good for parents to bear in mind, and I think grandparents, I think Christians, disciplers, 5 guardrails. Consider these with me, see if you agree. Number one, repetition. We need to go over again and again and again. I want to remind you, have I not told you before? Let me say it again. Repetition. Number two, imitation. Imitation. Follow me and do what I do. Not that I'm perfect, but as I follow Christ, so you follow me. I want you to follow my example as I point you to Christ, a good leader or parent or grandparent would say. Number three, transmission. Transmission. We want to transmit the truth from one generation to the next. We want to impart. We want to convey. We want to pass on biblical wisdom to our children and our children's children, and so on. But number four, also caution. I know in our day this is kind of out of vogue, but we need to give caution. Avoid that. Don't do this. Don't go there. Don't pass that way. Don't hang out with them. Definitely don't do this. We need to give cautions to turn away from a dangerous path. And then I think a fifth guardrail is consolation. To give hope. To give hope. Hey, let me remind you that the righteous path, it's like the light of day. It'll shine brighter and brighter and brighter until the full light dawns. When you enter glory. And we see all this in Proverbs chapter 4 before us. So I give you all that by way of introduction, really kind of summarizing Proverbs. I'm not giving you anything new. I'm not going to give you some new profound theological concept that you've never heard of before. I'm going to remind you of what you already know. So let's see verses 1 to 19. And learn these four fatherly exhortations. Now in your outline, I tried to keep it as simple and as memorable as I can. These four fatherly exhortations, at all costs, you need to get wisdom. Here they are. The four things. Number one, attention. Attention. Number two, acquire. You need to acquire wisdom. Number three, avoid. And then number four, advance. Attention, acquire, avoid, advance. Very simple, very brief, but let's go through these fatherly admonitions together. Follow with me as I begin in verses 1 to 3. Let's talk about getting attention, getting the attention. Verse 1, hear, O sons, the instruction of your father, and pay attention. I often hear from my beloved children, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Well, I just was looking at you in the eyeball and I told you this. And then I said it a couple of times and I repeated it over and over. My child, I love you. You need to pay attention. We've all been there. We've all said it. We understand it. That's what the Father is doing here. I'm going to give you something very important, and you've heard it before. But pay attention. Pay attention. Like a player would listen to a coach. Like an employee might listen to a CEO in that very important meeting. Like a pilot in training would listen to the voice of the instructor. Like a soldier would listen to the commanding officer. Pay attention. Pay attention. Listen up. Verse 2, I'm going to give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to give you good wisdom, good knowledge. And what's remarkable to me is in the next few verses, Solomon is actually going to give his own narrative on his own boyhood. Let me tell you what my dad taught me. Solomon is going to say, here's what King David did to me. We are going to see really three generations of teaching right here. David taught Solomon. Solomon is teaching his son. Verse 3, when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. Now, later on, we know that David and Bathsheba would have more children, but here at this point, he was their only son, and Solomon is reflecting on what his father, David, had taught him. Pay attention. I want you to hear this. See how vital it is for parents to gather their children to formally and informally give instruction. When you walk by the way, when you sit down, when you lie down, when you rise up, we teach formally and informally occasional as God brings opportunities across our path. Attention. Listen up. I have wisdom for you. We need this. Which leads to the second fatherly admonition. Look in your outline, acquire. Now, in verses 4 to 9, these are the father's words to Solomon. Here's what David told his son Solomon. Now, I want you to look with me at verse 4. Then he taught me and he said to me, here's the words. Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. If you prize her, she'll exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. What's so remarkable to me is this is the perfect living out of what we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them so that you and your son and your grandson might learn to fear the Lord your God. That's Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 and 2. This is teaching for you, for your son, and for your grandson, that you might fear God and then keep his commandments. This is what Solomon is doing. He's teaching his children what David taught him. It's really kind of a catechism type setting. It's let me teach you good theology. Three generations. It's kind of like what we read from the Apostle Paul. The things which you have heard from me, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to faithful men, and they can teach others also. That's how teaching goes. That's how discipleship goes. That's how the father to a child, to a grandchild, and the life in the church. Everybody can take biblical truth and pass it on to the generation to come so that they would know God. Psalm 78 makes that very clear. At all costs, get wisdom. Now, what I want to do is I want to walk through some of these verses with you in Proverbs chapter 4. Let's in your outline, I give you a couple of these headings. Number one, I want you to see here that we ought to prioritize biblical instruction. What does the father say to Solomon? First, prioritize biblical instruction. Then he taught me and he said to me, verse 4, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. You need to know this truth. Prioritize it. Prioritize it. Acquire biblical wisdom. Number two, look in your outline, be an example. Be an example. Now, do you see in Proverbs 4, look at verse 11. We're going to kind of skip down a little bit, but verse 11, be an example. The father says, I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the upright path. I've led you. I've shown you the right way. I've lived it out before you. I've tried to be an example for you to follow in my footsteps. Number three, notice targeting the heart. What does it mean to acquire this wisdom? Well, number three, we want to target the heart. Target the heart in verse four. Then my father taught me and said to me, let your heart. Now, dads and moms, we could just inform the mind. But the heart is what drives the life. That's what drives the actions. That's what drives the words. We want to target the heart. Not only inform the mind, but go after the heart. And then notice how the father, David, taught Solomon, in your outline number 4, to emphasize divine promises. It's a good thing to show this is a good way to live your life. God lavishes promises upon you if you do this. Look at verse 6. Do not forsake this wisdom. She'll guard you. Love her. She'll watch over you. Look at verse 8. Prize this wisdom and she will exalt you. She will honor you. Verse 9. She will give you a garland of grace and give you a crown of beauty. There's blessing. There's blessing if you follow God. It's good to emphasize that in our teaching to the children. And then remember, finally, number 5 in your outline there, that repetition teaches. Because that's what Proverbs 4 is. It's just repeating what he's already said in Proverbs 1, 2, and 3. Now, real quick, what's Solomon doing? In Proverbs 4, it's almost like he's gathering his child. And he says, I want to teach you what my father taught me. Let me give you wisdom. Let me give you instruction. We ought to do it with our children. And you know what? We ought to do it with our grandchildren as well. And not only that, men and women in the church family, even if you don't have children or grandchildren that you're regularly with or regularly involved in their life, you know what? We have a lot of spiritual children, a lot of family that we can all implement these principles right here in the lives of the church family. So parents, teach this to your children. Grandparents, you can teach this to your grandchildren. For all of us, we can implement these principles to one another in the context of the body of Christ. This is what we must do. Attention, pay attention. Number 2, acquire wisdom. And now number 3. Look in your outline. Number 3, the father in great fatherly protection is going to tell his child to avoid. To avoid. Verses 10 to 17, hear my son and accept my sayings. Now, verses 10 to 3 are more positive. Verses 14 to 17 are more negative. Now, in the first couple of verses, the father is going to say, do this, do this, do this. And then beginning in verse 14, the father is going to say, now listen up, avoid this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Look at verse 10, look at the mandate. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I want you to listen. Look at the modeling in verse 11. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. This is what every parent and grandparent and pastor and leader wants to do. I've led you. I've led you. It hasn't been perfect, but by the grace of God, I want to lead you in the path of godliness. I want to point you in the path where you can follow God as I follow God ahead of you. It's like saying, preach with your lips, but don't unpreach it with your life. Right? Follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus said in John 13, I have set an example before you that you ought to love one another. Ephesians 5, we'll see it next Sunday. Be imitators of God. We are to model this. Verse 11, I have led you. We are to model that. But look at verse 12. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. If you run, you will not stumble. This is good news. It'll protect you. Now, parents, grandparents, Christian, with one another, do you see verse 13? How verse 13 is God's call for us to take hold of wisdom, instruction. Don't let it go. Wrap your fingers around the Word of God and don't loosen the grip. Guard her, guard this wisdom, for this wisdom from God is your life. Well, that's true. I also know Colossians chapter 2, that in Jesus are found all the treasures of wisdom. If this wisdom is our life, I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Colossians. If you're a Christian, not only is wisdom our life, but you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you'll be revealed with him in glory. Jesus is our life. He is the way and the truth and the life. Guard this wisdom. Guard this life. Guard this Savior. Hold on to him. Cling to him. Cling to his word. Never let it go. The Father said, I want you to hear that. Because of verse 14. The tone shifts now to a very serious. Almost like eyeball to eyeball, son, you need to listen to me carefully. Look at verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed on the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by. Turn away. Pass on. You know, in biblical interpretation, hermeneutics, the verb is what carries the meaning of the passage, right? The verbs are like the engine, and all the other phrases and prepositions are supporting the main verbs. Look at all the verbs in verses 14 and 15. Do not enter, do not proceed, avoid, do not pass, turn away, pass on. Look at all the action. You have a quote in your outline by Jay Adams. He said, many Christians never intended to choose perhaps a sinful habit or a sinful lifestyle that they eventually may have adopted, but because they, notice this, they play around the edges of sin, they soon become fascinated with sin, and like Lot, who only intended to pitch his lot toward Sodom, he ended up where? Right in the midst of it. Do you see all of the ramifications that we can draw out of verses 14 and 15? Avoid the path of the wicked. A couple of examples. To a young couple that's embarking upon a serious relationship, considering marriage, don't put yourself in a situation where you'll be tempted to fall sexually. Avoid it. To the young person who has friends who dishonor and they disobey their parents and they disregard their parents' instructions, don't put yourself in a situation where you're influenced by those particular peers. To the person who's easily swayed by the opinions of others and you're influenced by others, don't hang with those friends because you will become like them before you know it. To the young person or to the man or the woman who has the phone and they're tempted to explore and hide content and browse social media and different apps on the internet and immorality and all the related forms of sin, don't put yourself in a situation where you'd begin to be tempted. Don't go on that work trip alone with a woman who's not your wife. To not get drunk, don't touch the bottle. To not commit adultery, don't even go near the neighborhood. To not embezzle funds, don't handle funds privately. To not live lazily, retain a schedule, manage your time, give every hour to God, and have people involved in your life holding you accountable. And on we could go. Avoid the path of the wicked. Turn away. Be far from these things. You know, it's so interesting, this principle. You know, it's not how close can I get to sin, How far is too far? That's the wrong question to ask. Rather, the principle is, how far, how safe can I possibly be for God's great glory? That's what God teaches. That's the path of wisdom. And dads and moms and grandparents and church member, we need to teach that to our young people. It's so tempting to dabble in sin. I can get close. And the father is saying, don't even walk near the edge of the cliff. Don't even get near the edge. Be far away. Avoid it. Turn away. Don't even go near the neighborhood of that sinful temptation. Now, in your outline, or in your text rather, look at verse 16. The father is going to explain. Because, verse 16, the wicked, can't sleep unless they do evil. They are robbed of sleep unless they make somebody stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. They're like evil-holics. They're so addicted to their cravings, it becomes their sedative by night and their food and drink by day. It's like wickedness is their necessary nutrient. It's like their diet is defilement. I need this. And their sin is their daily diet. The father is saying, oh, be on guard. Be on guard from those friends, from those wicked ones. Be on guard. Avoid. But then the father ends with an encouragement. Look at verse 18. This is number 4 in your outline. We've seen attention. We've seen acquire. We've seen avoid. But very briefly, in closing, advance. Advance. It's kind of like a summary section. Verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. This morning I was out for a run. It started dark. And when I got back on my deck, it was much brighter. And I thought, what a perfect illustration of what I'm going to preach tonight. Lighter and lighter and lighter until the full noonday sun. And the Father's like, that's what it's like for the godly man. For the godly, righteous man, every day of your life, as you walk with God, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. You get God's wisdom until you reach glory. Gazing upon the face of Jesus Christ in the fullness of his being. But, and interestingly, here yet again we have the way of the wicked and the way of the godly. The believer and the unbeliever, everybody in the world in this room, young people, teenagers, boys and girls, men and women, righteous or wicked, godly or ungodly. You're either on, verse 18, the path of the righteous, or look at verse 19, the way of the wicked. The way of the wicked is like, it's darkness. It's darkness. They don't even know. Over what they stumble. They're blinded. They're deceived. They're ignorant. They don't even know. And their path is doomed to stumbling. I think the appropriate application for all of us here tonight is, friend, which path are you on? Which path are you on? Because if you're on the path of the righteous, oh, acquire God's wisdom, listen to his wisdom, avoid the path of the ungodly, avoid it, turn away from it, cling to God, and day by day, brighter and brighter until the fullness of glory dawns. But if God's wisdom is not your guide, if man's wisdom from your own deceitful heart is your guide, you follow yourself, you do what you want. Friend, you're on the path of the wicked. And that path of the wicked is like darkness. And that'll lead to stumbling. It'll lead to death. It'll lead to doom. It'll lead to hell. But if you turn to Christ, The one who, according to verse 13, he is the fullness of our life. We take hold, we guard, we cling to Jesus. If he is your life, you can rejoice and have eternal life found in Jesus Christ and him alone. Amazing Savior we have. A great God we have. Great wisdom given to us. In closing, just as we draw this to a transition to a time in prayer, you have in your outline, in conclusion, a quote by John Bunyan. I like this quote. The tinker, the uneducated man, often said things in such a short, simple way. He said, God counted the wisdom of this world one of his greatest enemies. Therefore, by that wisdom, that is the wisdom of the world, no man can come to Jesus Christ. In other words, worldly wisdom and self-contrived wisdom will never lead you to God. Never. But thanks be to God for his word. But by God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus. And he is our wisdom from God in righteousness and sanctification and redemption. May it be that today you and I would just be reminded, at all costs, get God's wisdom. Amen. Father, thank you for your word and the clarity of it. Lord, such repetition, I know, such familiar words, we understand it. But yet, Lord, remind us, we are bombarded on every side from worldly wisdom, from ideas and philosophies and worldviews of this culture. But Lord, what we need is the wisdom of God yet again to be our compass. So thank you, Lord, for your word, your truth, your wisdom, the reliable word from God. In Jesus' name, amen.